Can you start out by just talking a little bit about this musical relationship between you and Isabel Leonard, how it came together in the first place, and how you've worked together over the past few years?
Well, Isabel has an extraordinary background. Her mother was Argentinian, so she grew up speaking Spanish in her home and has always loved doing Spanish music and has, of course, performed the Siete Canciones Populares Españolas of Manuel de Falla for a long time with piano, and decided she wanted to do them with guitar and work with me. So we share the same management, Columbia Artists, and I met her in 2014, heard her do a gorgeous concert at Carnegie Hall, and I said, absolutely, yes, this would be a very inspiring collaboration. So we did our first concert together in 2014 at the Aspen Music Festival. But the part of the story that is particularly unique is that we had the luxury in rehearsals for hours and hours before that, and days and weeks, to really craft some of these arrangements in a collaborative process, and that I've never had that experience before. So, for example, the music of García Lorca, we of course know him as a poet,
right,
but few people realize that he was a pianist and an arranger and an advocate of flamenco and flamenco festivals. So,
but he never wrote anything down, right?
He didn't. And fortunately, he recorded with an Argentinian singer himself called La Argentinita back in the early 1930s, a series of recordings of these Spanish folk songs and his settings. So that's what we have to go on. And it was really great because it gives me even more liberty to explore that on the guitar, even listen to some folk kinds of singers in their interpretations, which inspired me to add different kinds of strokes and nuances and strums to what I was doing. And Isabel was such a great guiding light in terms of saying, look, this is what this particular stanza means with these lyrics. Can you find some way of expressing that with loud chords here and soft ones there, or beautiful high octaves or harmonics? And all of that was really part of the process to create this album, which came about a good 2.5 years after we'd had the experience of road testing it from concert venues across the country, like Carnegie and Kennedy Center. And
yeah, just some small little concert houses right,
yes,
here and there.
A few little shacks.
I find it really interesting to hear you talking about the collaborative process between you and Isabel, because you crafting your arrangements of these García Lorca songs, which are beautiful, by the way,
thank you.
To fit her aesthetic as well and the things that she wants to do as a singer. You not only arranged these García Lorca songs, but you also did a little bit with the Manuel de Falla popular songs.
Well, it's really an equal collaboration of both the guitar and the voice, and coming together with that sense of spirit. And in the case of the De Falla, which I had performed for some time, these were arrangements set by Miguel Llobet and Emilio Pujol from Spain. I did some revisions, some at Isabel's encouragement. It really is bringing the music home, because if you listen to the 7 songs, they're inspired by the guitar. There's no way around that. And the guitar can do certain things that the piano simply can't, whether it's colors or whether it's flamenco-like strums or beautiful harmonics or that connective portamento, we call it, between the notes, which is imitative of a singer. So you have almost mirror images happening sometimes. And that is part of the grace and beauty of the intimacy that comes by bringing the voice and the guitar together.
Yeah.
And some of the other arrangements, like Granada, I had done many years ago. This is a song inspired by the very place where Manuel de Falla and García Lorca lived.
Yeah. People may not know the connection between de Falla and Lorca. Do you want to just talk about that briefly?
Well, at one point when they discovered that Lorca was on Franco's hit list, Defaya offered to hide him in his cellar, and I visited that home where Faya lived, really a little modest place with a beautiful panoramic view of the Alhambra out the window. And just to look there and think, this is what inspired all his great music. Wow.
Yeah.
And Lorca turned him down and was abducted and killed by Franco's fascists. And then Defaya feared that he would be next, so he fled to South America and pretty much left the home as it was in that escape.
Yeah.
And if you think of many of the composers on this album, Joaquin Rodrigo, with whom I shared a 20-year friendship after meeting him in 1979 when he heard my live broadcast of the Concierto de Aranjuez as a winner of the Queen Sofia competition. He invited me to his home. I met him and his wife, Victoria, who years later in 88 ended up penning the lyrics to the song inspired by the slow movement. Both he and his wife had fled both the Nazis and Franco. And then if you look at Granados, we celebrate his 150th anniversary this year. He had come to witness the world premiere of his Goyescas opera at the Metropolitan Opera. And when President Wilson invited him to give a recital at the White House and extend his stay, unfortunately, the ship he ended up traveling back on was torpedoed by the Germans, a submarine, and this was in World War I, both he and his wife perished. So there are some rather extraordinary backstories of all of these composers.
Yeah, and all of it gathered into this album, and the music itself having such a sense of depth and soul to it. In fact, I mean, that's the title of the album, the Spanish Soul. Can you talk a little bit about Rodrigo, and I know you had this wonderful relationship with him, but I read a story that I believe was a quote from you where you talked about his original inspiration for the Aranjuez Concerto, that it began with that plaintive melody in the second movement after he and his wife had been through some sort of physical tragedy and she was ill, and he was in this pensive mood when he wrote the melody to begin with.
Well, Rodrigo had already suffered quite a bit in his life. He contracted diphtheria at the age of 3, so he was blind from the age of 3.
Right.
And he and his wife were both pianists. They used to play four-hand piano together. And their first child was born stillborn, and his wife became so ill, nobody knew if she would live or die. So he would come back every night from visiting her at the hospital. And unable to sleep, he would console himself by playing what already was at that point the beautiful adagio slow movement of the Concierto de Aranjuez that he was in the process of composing. And she did recover. They went on to have many decades together. And she penned the lyrics to the song Aranjuez Ma Pensée, which their daughter, Cecilia, gave to me as the first to record this particular lovely work.
It's just amazing. It's one of the sense of history as well that you carry with you and that you put down on this disc. I want to ask you about your arrangement of Granada. You said that you did it a while ago.
Yes, I was at a festival in France many years ago, and the director said, you know, there's this lovely tenor from Spain who I think you should play Granada with him. Have you ever done it before? And I said, no, but I'll try to figure it out. So I made an arrangement. We did it and it ended up being the hit of the whole season. And I always wanted to do this again. And in the collaboration with Isabel, we decided this would be our encore. And of course, on the piece, we also have a fun little 1-minute video in which you can hear a good portion of it.
Yeah.
It is a song that is considered to be perhaps the most famous in the world and titled of the town where two of the composers lived. And even though Lara was Mexican, he really managed to capture the spirit of this amazing village.
Granada, tierra. ora sognerà por mi mi cantar se vuoi vegetaro con esparati.
You mentioned writing it originally for a tenor. We usually think of Granada as being sung like, you know, it's like three tenors territory, pull out all the stops with the,
right,
the orchestra and showpieces and things like that. It's while it certainly has plenty of flash, it also has a, I would dare say, more substance with the guitar accompaniment. And I hear a lot of flamenco going on in there, and I assume that that was intentional on your part.
It really is, and so much of this music is inspired by the guitar and by flamenco music. So, as Isabel says, it's like bringing it home. And certainly Granada, when you think about the gypsies there, I had an experience myself where this was after meeting Rodrigo, the same trip, and I decided I wanted to see the beautiful Alhambra and spent a day touring the magnificent gardens of this 13th century palace. And then I wanted to explore the flamenco caves and followed my ear and heard some amazing guitar playing and wandered into a cave. And there was a fellow playing flamenco guitar. And when he finished, he thrust the guitar to me and he said, "Toca la guitarra." And I said, "Yes, but I'm here to hear you play." And he said, he insisted in Spanish that I play. So
yeah,
turning the corners on me, I began to play some music of Albéniz. And within moments, the room filled up with a couple of dozen gypsies who made me their captive for the next hour playing music from their country for them. It was such a remarkable experience. I've never forgotten it.
I'm inspired to read your autobiography.
I have to write it first.
Well, the only other thing that I was curious about is Isabel is a mezzo. She has a deeper, kind of darker voice. And do you feel that that also plays into this whole repertoire that you're doing? I mean, she really tears into some of this stuff, like that last Defia song, you know, a lot of chest voice in there. It seems to meld with the guitar in a way that a higher voice may not.
It's so true. And that sort of gutsy, in the heart spirit is something that is so much a part of the cante hondo of flamenco. So you don't want to actually become a flamenco singer when you do this music because it is concert art song. But to bring that spirit, which she does to it, is so captivating and so beautiful. I remember when I once read through these songs with Victor de los Angeles, she said to me that she wished she had had the courage earlier to do it in that kind of flamenco-ish style, which she now felt free to do in her later life. So I feel so privileged to work with an artist that is so extraordinary as Isabel and to have been able to explore this music together in a collaborative process.
The album is Alma Española. It's from Bridge Records, a recital of Spanish art songs, really the first of its kind in, what, 40 years?
In a good 40 years, yes.
Yeah. It has the opera star Isabel Leonard and the guitar star Sharon Isbin. And you can find out more at Sharon's website, sharonisbin.com. Congrats on this wonderful album, and thank you for joining us today on FM 91.
And thank you so much, Brad, for taking the time to do this. And you know, it makes, I was just looking, you know, Toledo, Ohio, it's really Toledo, so it makes sense for Alma Española that we should be talking with Toledo.
That's absolutely right. I love that. I'm going to totally go with that.
Thank you, Brad. A pleasure to talk with you.